What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 499th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, SBJ, and with me is Greg.
Yeah, hello. Let's get through this. I got some Arceus to play.
Thought you finished that game.
I spent 4 hours using a certain streamer's foolproof shiny hunting technique last night, and it was up until 1 a.m, and it is not foolproof.
It is
with pack of lies.
50-50, Greg. It's either shiny or it's not. You keep rolling tails, I guess.
I'm stuck in a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
It's like me, yeah, like me trying to get that combi.
Will also here.
I only stayed up till midnight watching Bleach, so my time was much better rewarded.
Yeah, that sounds correct.
I mean, that is pretty good. Although, well,
it's all on Hulu, the entire thing.
I know. But I don't, it's like when I try to jump back into One Piece, like, I just realize I don't necessarily have that kind of time.
Oh, I started from the beginning again.
Oh my gosh.
I can't. I just can't.
We had a spoiler episode on Thursday. It went all the way up to the, for the most part, the third area. And we'll probably have another spoiler show this week, talking up to the credits of the game. I think Greg and I both got credits.
I got credits.
I don't know where Will is.
I just unlocked the fourth area, I haven't gone there yet.
Got it. We won't be spoiling any Arceus stuff. We will be talking about it in the later half of the show, just a little bit, some more thoughts and feelings, but we'll probably save any storyline kind of stuff for that bonus episode. We will, though, start off with some Pokemon news, because there was a lot of news that happened in the last week. Let's start off with a real banger here. This is off PokemonGoLive.com. Trainers, we've been observing the situation in Abu Dhabi, and with our community in mind, we decided to cancel the Pokemon Go Tour live event in Abu Dhabi on February 27th. Order refunds will be processed for the next 2 days, several days for it to appear in your account. We're disappointed we will not see you in Abu Dhabi, but it will still take place in Mexico and Taiwan as scheduled.
That sounds like Christmas.
Yeah.
We're about 21 days away from those two events.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully the people who booked their plane tickets can get those refunded, I guess.
Do you think people actually book plane tickets to go to Abu Dhabi?
I would say there are probably a handful of very hardcore Pokemon Go people, yes?
Yeah. I'd say more Mexico, though, than Abu Dhabi.
Are we allowed to travel outside of the U.S. right now?
Yes. Yes. There are no travel restrictions.
I would assume. Well, what if you're like a hardcore Italian player? Is it not easier to fly to Abu Dhabi than it would be anywhere else?
I mean, it's shorter.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's shorter.
I don't know if that's necessarily easier. I mean, flying is no longer a fun or exciting or swanky affair like it used to be.
The Pokemon Go Johto Tour is the 26th. That's coming up. It's coming up real fast. I feel like, geez, we're already in February. And then the 27th is technically Pokemon Day. It is the day where Red and Green were originally released in Japan. So that's why this Go Tour thing is happening. Although we said weeks ago that like having three locations, not even a single one being in the U.S. or Japan, is a little weird, since the U.S. and Japan are the two biggest markets for that game. That's okay. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast or I was just saying it on my Twitch streams. If you look at the calendar for February, I don't think there's going to be a Pokemon Day announcement on Pokemon Day, because that's a Sunday. And I don't think they would also do it on a Saturday, because why would they do a huge announcement on a day where you're supposed to be playing 8 hours in Pogo? And they probably wouldn't do it on a Friday, because Friday in the US is Saturday in Japan, so that also doesn't make sense. So realistically, the announcement possibly for Pokemon Day would probably be that Thursday, the 24th. Which would be a Friday in Japan. I would assume they would announce something. I guess they could do it the Monday, the 28th.
I mean, time doesn't mean that much anymore. It could be on Sunday.
We are talking about the same company that will load 7 things up on a weekend.
No, they always load it before the weekend.
No, I mean, like, they
oh, you mean they put everything on the weekend.
They put everything on the weekend.
Yeah.
You expect them to be like, let's not make an announcement because everybody is busy. Like,
I don't remember a plot line that they follow. I don't remember a time where they've announced something on a Saturday or a Sunday, though. It's always on, like, a Thursday. Or a Tuesday. My assumption is it's going to be the 24th of February. They're going to announce...
My assumption is it's going to be in March.
They're going to announce whatever games they want to, whatever, you know... Look, if we say that Pokemon Sleep is coming in every Pokemon announcement, we will eventually be right, and then we can say that we were right.
Pokemon Sleep, the new Pokemon Ranger, is going to be announced.
Hey, you Pikachu, too.
Ooh, Pokemon Ranger.
Pokemon Pal Park 7.
No one wants Ranger. Pal Park 7.
Excuse me. I have recently had the realization that, like, original Pokemon Ranger, I actually like better than Black and White. Like, Pokemon Ranger, original Pokemon Ranger is probably my favorite Pokemon game.
Wow, 2022 is real
weird. Wow. The truths are coming out.
Close that calendar there. Speaking of more Pokemon Go stuff, this is also off PokemonGoLive.com. Announcing the Pokemon TCG Pokemon Go. This is the name of the... This is the actual name of the set. It is called the Pokemon TCG Pokemon Go Expansion. This summer, a collaboration between the Pokemon Trading Card Game and Pokemon Go will be released. The expansion will feature cards themed after the popular mobile game. You can get an early look at the expansion package design below. More details will be coming soon. Please be aware of your surroundings. For the audio listeners, Greg's face is in complete disarray.
Apart from Professor Willow, are they going to add, like, Stadium Pokestop? Like, I can't think. Like, the Pokemon aren't unique to Pokemon Go.
I mean, you got Spark, you got
Candela.
Yeah, I mean, Candela, so apart from the, like, the leaders.
Blair, Blaine?
Blanche.
You got Incense. You got all kinds of, yeah.
So basically we're looking at items and trainer cards and maybe a stadium.
Well, yeah, maybe a stadium. On the packaging, you see a Larvitar, Pikachu, Mewtwo, Blissey, Gyarados, Conkeldurr, Apom.
I can very much imagine that the Pokemon cards will be art themed, similar. There's an Instagram, it's like PKMN Snaps or something like that. If you look at that, it's just an Instagram I follow. But they do like Pokemon from Pokemon Go in like real world settings.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
I imagine the cards would have that type of art. I would not be surprised if the Pokemon Company International contacted Pokemon Snaps and was like, could you do the art for this TCG set?
Exclusive deal.
And we'll offer you one booster box of
exposure
cards as payment.
Basically, that's how they pay, isn't
win,
it?
That is, yeah. Win the contest for exposure.
I'd wager to guess this set is probably going to be like 60 cards or something. I don't...
Well, I mean, we already have the Professor Willow cards, so we're ahead of the game.
We are way... I think I have 2 somewhere in this house.
With 2 more, you get a whole playset. You go to your local tournament and start throwing down... I don't even know what Willow does. Is it like discard 7 cards?
It's the same Professor card that every Professor card has ever been.
I think this is cool. It has been easier, at least in my area, to find cards. I mean, it's a bit of a struggle. And there's still, like, limit 3 to 5 per person. But, like, there's usually single booster packs hanging on the shelves. Which I don't buy single booster packs anymore. It's just, like, I'm going to buy a box because there's a promo card I want to collect. Or I'm going to buy an ETB. Though I don't know why I'm buying ETBs anymore. It's technically more expensive. I like the boxes the ETBs come in. It's good storage for more.
But then you have to move those boxes.
No, Will moves those boxes.
Oh, deep cuts. Deep
Will
cuts.
Moved those boxes once. I'm going to state this again. Then you will have to move those boxes because I do not think you're going to get Will into that situation ever again.
Hopefully we just get movers because we're not going 8 hours. There was also the Lunar New Year event, which I believe by the time this podcast is going up, it's ending soon. I think this Lunar New Year is like really lackluster compared to other Lunar New Years. But
I have to trade 3 times with somebody, and that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, you want
to
get dinner tonight so we can trade?
We are making dinner at home. I will meet you if you want to go hang out and we can trade, but that's about it.
Because I need to trade too. Switching gears a little bit. This is just off the Pokemon website, and my wallet is very sad, but my heart is happy. The Wan Company and the Pokemon Company are teaming up again. There will be 4 new metal Pokeballs this year, starting with the Heal Ball, which is now available that you can pre-order off Pokemon Center or GameStop or wherever you get these things. They are also announcing the Friend Ball, the Quick Ball, and the Cherish Ball. And those will be the they say the 4 they have planned throughout the year. I don't know if they're going to add another one onto it, but they did 5 last year? Because the 6, technically, I guess? I don't know. Because there was the Pokeball, Great Ball, Ultra Ball, Master Ball. Master Ball was only exclusive to Pokemon Center, and it sold out pretty quickly. And then they did the Premium Ball and then the Dusk Ball, which kind of came out at the end of the year, kind of the beginning of this
Premier
year.
Premier Ball?
Premier, yeah, what did I say?
Yeah.
Premium.
Premium, oh. That's the new Pokeball.
That's the new Pokeball.
In Pokemon Arceus Legends 2,
okay,
the Premium
can I say,
Ball.
While we're talking about balls.
Okay.
I am actively angry at Legends Arceus for making me like the Great Ball. Because the Great Ball looks so good in that
it
game.
Does. Yeah, it does.
And the Ultra Ball looks like trash. And so all I use now are Great Balls, and I'm mad about it. And somebody needs to just know that this is unacceptable.
Can we clear up a misconception here that I've seen? And my wife did the same thing last night. She was trying to catch Dusclops, and I was like, hey, just use... She's like, they get so angry when I get close. And I was like, yeah, that's a Dusclops for you. And I was like, just use the feather balls. And she's like, it's not a bird.
Oh, no.
I mean, theming-wise, I agree with that statement.
Yes. I completely understand the confusion around the feather balls. So, because especially if you've played other Pokemon games where like they're like the netball or the desk ball, or I get it. The feather balls are just a Pokeball. It just goes farther. That's it. Yeah. That's all it does. You could just throw it farther. It doesn't have.
There are certain things
catch rate on like a Togekiss
that you have to catch because they're very far away and it's the only ball that's going to work. Now that I'm on Pokemon Center talking, did you buy your wife the Registeel Pokeball plush?
We do have multiple Registeels in this house, yes.
Here's my next question. When are they doing the Luxury Ball? Because it's the only ball I wish to purchase.
It's weird that they skipped the Luxury Ball and they went into like Apricorn stuff with the front ball.
Mad about it.
I do find that weird. I mean, I am a big fan of the Heal Ball myself, but it is weird that Luxury Ball has been left out so far. Maybe just it's too hard to make because Luxury Ball must be made with 24 karat gold and Onyx.
That's true. That's
it's true.
Very expensive.
I mean, it could be... Well, am I buying the Pokemon Active Black Performance tank top?
Is it the same material as the Pikachu pit tank top? Wait a minute. There were 2 Pikachu tank tops, so...
Look, as you guys are looking up tank tops, I started by Wan Company Premium Pokeball Collection or whatever. I did not expect them to add another 4. This is like $1,000 deep.
It's the life you've bought into, buddy.
You knew how many balls are in the game.
Yeah. I don't expect them to make like a net ball.
These were hot sellers and they sell it every time. We have a bajillion balls. Easy profits. Like,
yeah. Look, I still like them more. Every time I show them off, the first question is like, do they open? No, they don't open. I have 8 million plastic Pokeballs that open. I don't need every Pokeball to open. These have like touch sensor things. They light up. They like react to how far away my hand away is from the top. And they're made out of metal. They're very cool. I like them a lot. I stand by that they are better than collecting a bunch of Funko Pops. How many Funko Pops equal one metal ball? What are they, $12.99? Like eight?
Eight.
About eight?
You could have a wall of Funko Pops for the same price as one
metal
do-nothing ball.
I will take the metal Pokeball any day over the Funko Pops.
I linked the tank top for Will in the chat.
Wait, are you looking at the Pikachu Pokemon Active Black Performance Tank Top Dash Men?
Yeah.
The answer is do not buy, because that art on the back is creepy. I'm not going to continue, but creepy, creepy. It looks like the lightning bolt is controlling Pikachu like a marionette, and that seems wrong.
I think this is like good.
Look at the back art. It's weird. It's disturbing.
Weird the front is good, though.
Although it is better than one of the Pikachu tank tops that I have, because the Pikachu art on that one is so small, you can barely tell that it's a Pikachu.
Mm. Off Pokemon.com, Pokemon Unite Battle Pass 5 featuring new Holoware trainer fashion items is available starting on January 31st. Throw on your finest cowboy hat and mosey on over to Pokemon Unite for a rootin' tootin' good time. Are we not into this anymore?
Nope. No, we haven't been into it for quite some time. What is it, like cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got like Zeraora in like a sheriff's outfit. They got a Dragonite in an apron.
Not a single one of these people are wearing chaps, so they're not true cowboys, and I am...
There's special assignment, berry picking with Greedent from January 31st to February 20th, which you can earn rewards for the greedy Pokemon gathering berries. Each day, players will receive 4 random daily missions. Every mission will give you 20 Eos coins, as well as berries to unlock trainer fashion items. Battle Pass has 90 levels to upgrade. They also released a $35 Cramorant skin. Which makes me mad that there are... I think the thing that makes me mad about this isn't the price of the Cramorant. Look, I said on this podcast I'd pay $40 for a Cramorant skin, because the first $40 skin was the Ninetales one. And then they did a $40 Pikachu one. And then there's like a $40 Machamp one. They're out there. And I'm willing to throw down money for my boy. I need the Pokemon Company to know that the us Cramorant fans have deep wallets. But the like not fully committed thing they did frustrates me. Because $40 is what, like 2,499 Eos gems. And this Cramorant skin is 2,100 Eos gems. It's like 300 gems less. So because it's 300 gems less, they're like, we're not giving it a cool animation like we did Machamp or...
That's why they gave you the discount.
Yeah.
But like, why is there different tiers? There should just be like a common, uncommon, rare, ultra rare.
Because the programmers have lost as much interest as the player base.
Also, I will issue a correction to myself. Machamp is wearing chaps, so I'm a little bit back in, but the hat is dumb, so I'm back out.
But you know, if you keep telling them that you'll throw money at Cramorant, they'll keep coming up with Cramorant stuff for you to buy.
This is the second one. The first one was the cooking outfit.
What does it even look like? Do you have a picture?
Do you notice Victini in Pokemon Unite has gotten nothing, because they know I will spend no money on any Victini anything in Pokemon Unite?
Here, I got the picture. It's right here. It's really good. He's like a bandana around his neck.
And if you're about to say Victini's not in Pokemon Unite, yes, that's the point. That is what I am saying.
It's good. I don't know. It's a cowboy. This is as good as a cowboy you're going to get.
Cow person. Thank you.
Cow bird.
Cattle person. Thank you very much.
I almost bought it, but I was like, I will buy the Cramorant skin when I actually play this video game, which I don't know when that's going to be. Because I still think Unite is 1-1-3. One person top lane, one person jungle, 3 people bottom. I got no desire to do that. I don't know. Maybe it's more fun. I feel like three is a crowd in the bottom. Stresses me out.
Is that still happening? Is that still the way?
That is still the way.
So it's one up top, one jungle, and 3 at the bottom?
Yeah.
Yeah. You ask if we're going to get back in this game.
Also off Pokemon.com, scout Marnie and Mawile and B and Vanillux in Pokemon Masters EX. It's Palentine's Day on in Paseo, and the warm air and the sweet smell of friendship and chocolate. Why am I reading way over here? Let me move this over. from now until February 18th, you can join in the festivities playing Sweet Shenanigans Story Event in Pokemon Masters EX. Paseo's trainers are cooking up some delicious goods. But a gaggle of masked misers,
like Willie Anderson, misers.
Yes, like William Anderson, the miser.
I thought there would be more E's in the word miser.
Why?
Why?
Like, oh, because you're thinking Meyer.
That's with a Y.
That's with a J.
You're right.
Well, it is all. Depending on which mire you're going off of.
No, he's thinking of the department store.
Yeah. I know.
Play through the Sweet Shenanigans story event. You will earn gems, 3-star tech candy, 4-star strike candy, and others. So Marnie, this is the third Marnie, the fourth Marnie. People like Marnie.
It's like the 80th Marnie.
Marnie and Mawile, and then...
this is the third Marnie, isn't it?
Yes.
Cygnus suit. No, Valentine's summer swimsuit normal.
And then B with Vanillux? I don't know. It's fine, yeah. I guess.
Look, it makes sense in the story, kind of.
Does it?
So I've been trying to pull B.
Okay.
And my pulls are terrible. I keep getting all 3-star except for 4-star. And then my last pull, it did the whole, hey, this is going to be a good one. And it gave me Cygnus suit, Erica, and Leafeon. No B to be seen.
That sounds good, though.
I mean, I needed it, kind of, but...
I think Erica's the most in the game, right?
There's like Erica has five?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Erica has five.
Somebody on that team likes Erica.
Well, I mean, it's cute grass. There's like a million grass types that you can give Erica. And you can put her in dresses. So, yeah, she's easy to theme. The Palentine story, easy to do. What else are they doing? Oh, did we talk about the fact that they added the jukebox?
No, can you explain this jukebox? I missed what's happening here. There's a chat out on it.
Yeah, so you can change the music through the jukebox that plays based off of like the various stages or various sync pairs if they have a special theme. You can now go to the jukebox and select those songs to play. However, you need to battle to get coins to buy the songs in the jukebox.
Of course you do.
Well, so it's a daily mission to battle to get jukebox coins. It doesn't cost stamina that I can see. It might. Or it costs a little. It doesn't matter. And they've added coins as an additional daily bonus. So every daily mission you get a certain amount of song coins, and then when you have 300, you can go buy another song. However, from what I can tell, some songs are now locked behind whether you can pull the pair that that song belongs to. So, like, if you don't have Cynthia and Komo-o, I don't think you can buy her song because you didn't get the pair that got the song.
I see.
So it's like another thing to collect. And the music, for the most part, is like there's a lot of good music in there. So if you're like, I really like to hear this piece and I'm tired of the main theme or the Pokemon Center theme, you can change it to whoever theme that you purchase.
Got it. Last bit of news before we take a break is Brilliant Stars, the next TCG set, which is still part of the Sword and Shield series. Comes out on February 25th. It will feature 170 cards. They did show off some more cards. Look, you can look at all these cards because they came out in Japan like 3 months ago. But they they showed off Shaman V-Star, Bolton V, Semi-Seer V, and Luxray. The Pokemon Company did send me a booster box of these cards, so I don't think I'm allowed to open them for like another 2 weeks, though. So they're just sitting on a shelf.
I'm kind of mad that the next Vanguard set has like 500 cards in it. Over what? 500 cards. Yeah.
That's a lot.
That sounds awful.
So is this
yeah.
Is this a good number of cards or is this
170 is a little high.
Okay.
What was that one set though? It had like 250 or something. 170 is fine. It's okay. It's not the worst. Not the best.
The Bolton card is real cute.
Yeah, I figured you'd like that one.
So when you pull it, you're going to give it to me, right?
Sure. What was that one set that was really bad? Not Unified Minds.
So what was it called in Japan? Where is it?
Not Unified Minds. What was the set? It was...
It's 120 cards. I don't know what I was thinking. Oh, because you need four of each.
Oh, the Mimikyu is cute.
Fusion Strike? Fusion Strike, I think, was the bad one.
Oh, there's a Charizard in it.
Fusion Strike had 284 cards. I don't think I've ever opened a good pack of Fusion Strike because it's so filler. So yeah, 170 is a walk in the park compared to 280. I think the Japanese set was called Starbirth in Japan for Brilliant Stars. Evolving Skies was 237. That was right before Fusion Strike. Chilling Rains was 233. And then Battle Styles was 183. Battle Styles was a bad set. Not that Chilling Rain was much better. Vivid Voltage was 203. So this is the smallest set in a while. Not counting like promotional sets like Champion's Path. Darkness Ablaze was 201. Rebel Clash was 209. Yeah, so the set is actually really small. I take it back. This seems like a good number.
I have a question. So they say there's like 170 cards, right?
Yeah.
Are there like, because I know like people are like, oh, it's a secret rare. Are like secret rares counted in that total?
No. Because okay. They're secrets.
Yeah, they don't let you know until people figure it out.
The real number could be a lot higher.
Oh, there's not that many. You're not going to get more than 20 secret rares.
Yeah,
at
it's usually
most.
About 15.
It's usually like, if even that many.
Yeah, it's the number could go up a little bit, yeah, but 170 numbered cards is what they're saying.
Okay.
Secret rares go above the number.
There's a Sableye V?
There's a lot of Sableyes.
I love Sableye.
You should get into the PSA game, but only for a specific Pokemon. Like I'm only going to collect PSA Sableyes.
Oh. Rated 10 Sableyes. Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds awful. I just like the look of Sableye V.
Then get you one, my friend. Get you one.
It's super cute, except the one that's on this picture isn't as good as the one that's on the front.
All right.
Now I have to search.
Well, as Greg looks at the newfound Sableye cards that have existed for 20-some years, let's take a
this
break.
This is the one. This is super cute. Oh, he's...
When we come back, we'll talk. I think we're caught up with news. Otherwise, when we come back, we'll talk about some legends, and we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Going online without ExpressVPN is like going out into the Hisui region without a protective case on your Arc phone. Most of the time, you'll probably be fine, but it only takes one Starly to tackle into you for you to possibly have a broken screen. And then you would think, I wish I also protected myself online.
Anytime you connect to any kind of unencrypted network, if it's in a coffee shop or if you're in a hotel room, anything like that, the data that you're transferring is not secure, and anybody on the same network can steal your data as it passes back and forth if they're paying attention to it. And it doesn't take that much knowledge to hack somebody. Script kiddies are out there with the information and all. These kids got no morals. They're just doing it for fun.
They're just doing it for the
But the thing
for
is,
the
they
lulls.
Start out doing it for fun, and then they realize they can make money from it. And, you know, hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your personal info on the dark web.
So why should we use ExpressVPN? Well, let me tell you. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. So hackers cannot steal your sensitive data. They also can't hack your Pokemon and steal them either. It takes a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. All you need to do is fire up the app, just click a button, and you're protected. It is just that simple. And it works on all devices. Arc phones, laptops, phones, tablets.
Pokewalkers.
Pokemon trade servers. All of it's protected. Will, you're a big ExpressVPN fan, aren't you?
I use ExpressVPN on every single one of my devices. And, I mean, the primary reason is I don't trust Steve. And when I go to Steve's house and connect to his wireless network, I don't know if he's spying on all the great poppin' recipes that I'm downloading, and that's none of his business. I don't want him to know about the surprise party that I'm planning, so I, you know, make sure that I have ExpressVPN turned on before I go there, and wise. No matter what Steve's doing on his wireless network, I'm safe.
Hey, look, we only take ads that we believe in, and Will has been using ExpressVPN well before.
Over a year, yes.
ExpressVPN approached us, so we are fans of ExpressVPN. You too can be a fan of ExpressVPN, and you can secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/pkmncast. That is expressvpn.com/pkmncast. And if you do that, you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/pkmncast. And we are back from our break. Hey, some more news here. The first distribution for Pokemon Legends Arceus is going to be available starting at the end of the month, from February 25th through March 13th. You'll be able to get an Hisuian Growlithe and 20 Feather Balls if you're in the U.S. from GameStop. It is not shiny. It is to celebrate the release of Brilliant Stars. I know that, you know, people, anytime there's a non-shiny distribution, the complaints are, why isn't it shiny? This is useless. You know, if you want my opinion, I like collecting event Pokemon because they are they're events and you can only get them from a specific time. So if in my case, I like that it will say that it's from a faithful encounter versus the Growlithe you just catch in the overworld, which will say caught in Fearland Fieldlands or whatever that
Obsidian
place
Obsidian Fieldlands. Yeah. It is a fateful
encounter.
This is just promotional stuff. Nothing super fancy here. Look, you walk into GameStop, you pick up your Brilliant Stars, they hand you a code, you walk out, you don't really think about it twice.
This is not worth me stepping foot into a GameStop.
You gotta go to the secret one in Egan. Trust me, it's worth it.
All right, you and I will go to the secret one in Egan.
But what if we're at Mall America and we're just doing laps? I mean, eventually, just walk in, walk out.
I mean, you got that one too, yes.
The Mall America one isn't bad because it's so big.
It's very large.
It is very large. I'm just saying, this is not enough for me to go out of my way to do this.
Yes.
If we happen to stumble upon, in my normal day-to-day business, a GameStop, then yes, I will
so
walk
here's,
in and get it.
Here's the secret. Across the street from the one in Egan is Taco Libre. Ooh. Taco Libre is really, really good. So just plan on getting some Taco Libre for lunch or dinner and then pop into the GameStop while you're there.
I like this. Again, I like that it says that it's specifically from a fateful encounter versus they did this a lot in Sword and Shield where, like, if you went to Best Buy or we went to GameStop, they would give you a code and the mystery gift would be for what were they called? Like the Dynamax crystals. So then you would drop the Dynamax crystal into the den and then the Pikachu or the Eevee or whatever would spawn. But then it would just have like your OT and your stuff, so it wouldn't feel unique in that aspect because
it takes away from the special.
I feel like I have not missed a GameStop distribution at this point. Maybe I have, but I feel like I got a lot of. I did miss that Halloween. They had like a shiny Halloween Gengar back in 2016, and I traded for that actually. So I take it back. This was not the first distribution. for Legends. There is in Japan from February 5th through the 22nd. If you go to a Pokemon Center, give the secret passphrase, you will get a leaflet with a code for a Piplup on it.
Ooh.
Piplup?
Nothing Piplup? Special about that Piplup either, except it does have a set OT. It does have a set ID, which I'm assuming the Growlithe will have set OT, set ID, once we know more about it. And it is a fateful encounter at level 15. So, non-shiny Piplup in Japan, non-shiny Growlithe in the US, it's okay. If it was shiny, the comments would just, instead of being like the comments right now, which are, this is useless, why isn't it shiny? If it was shiny, the comments would be like, look, they're just handing out shinies left and right. They're so useless. Yeah, it's the same. Everyone's complaining. It's fine. It's okay. It's okay to...
It's the internet.
If you don't want the Growlithe, here's what you can do. Don't get the Growlithe. It's fine.
Very true.
You just ignore it. It's okay.
You're
I
not
want the Growlithe.
To do so.
I want the. I hope it has a good OT, like corporate.
From corporate trainer.
It's gonna be Polina. Polina. It will be the OT. Will be Polina.
Without getting too spoilery, because we'll save that for Thursday. How are we feeling about Legends, Will? Where are we at?
Well, as I said, I've just unlocked Area 4. I don't know. I'll probably get through the story and be done with it.
You don't like it?
I have had a lot of issues, which I can probably discuss later, have really detracted from me enjoying the game. So,
Greg, where
it's a good game. It's just not for me.
Not enough Monster Hunter, not enough Pokemon is what I'm feeling from you.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Where are you at, Greg?
I have gotten credits.
I, too, have gotten credits. And I have a lot of thoughts about these credits.
I do, too. I know some of your thoughts, which I disagree with, but overall, I think this has been a very enjoyable experience. Again, it is a very solid B+ game. Like, I unlike Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl, where I was dreading thinking about playing again, I am seriously thinking, like, okay, so I grab the other Switch and I pick a different starter and I start the story again, because I'm really into the overall story that they're telling in this game. I think they've done a lot of things very, very well. So I have the itch I have with a lot of Pokemon games, is that, ooh, I want to play this again. I want to experience this again, which I didn't have for Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl.
Yeah. I will say
so
that
I'm quite happy with it.
We'll talk about the story more on Thursday. I'll just say that I dislike the story, but I would say that it did not detract from my overall enjoyment from the game. I love X and Y. I think those are great games, and I've said many times on this podcast that I cannot stand that X and Y story. But it never detracted from the journey of being a Pokemon trainer, which I think I can always separate in my head of, like, even though the story is bad, I am still building a team. I'm still collecting badges. I'm still trying to be the champion. And that has always felt good in X and Y. I think it feels really good in X and Y, honestly, to, like, just collect those badges and, like, build the team. And you have so much variety in X and Y with your Pokemon choices in that game. And then beat Diantha at the end. This game doesn't capture that same thing, because it's not really a spoiler. We've been talking about this since the game came out. Like, there's really not a lot that the game reward. Like, your team is kind of like an afterthought in this game.
Yeah, for some reason, I still have a Floatzel on mine. And I'm like, I don't like you, Floatzel, but I haven't had a motivation to either take you off either.
I will say this. The only time I've swapped up my team is to complete a Pokedex entry. And I will also say that some of these new evolution methods are super excessive.
Yep. I was going to say that was the one thing I wanted to touch on this episode, is how do they do this? who's over on that team, and what choices are they making? So I don't know if we've talked about this yet, but there's an item that they added. It's called the Link Cable. Really cleverly named, really cute. Amazing throwback, everything about it. And if you don't know, And this is not a spoiler. You can get every Pokemon in your copy of your game without trading. You can get both Dialga and Palkia without trading. You can get all the starters without trading, which means that those Pokemon will exist somewhere in the game. And this is the first main series Pokemon game to do that. That's probably why they only have one copy and not two. If you wanted to get Alakazam or Machamp or Gengar or what was the last one? Golem. You can use the link cable item to evolve said Pokemon, but the trading method still works. Like, I can trade Greg a Kadabra, and it will still evolve into an Alakazam. And I think that's fantastic. I think that's really great.
Have you looked at the trade screen?
Yeah.
Have you done a trade? Okay. If nothing else, it is worth doing a trade once, because the trade sequence is so... They went so hard on that, and they did not need to, and it is a pure joy from beginning to end.
It is fantastic.
It is so good.
So hopefully stuff like this continues, where you can use an item to evolve, or you can just trade it the old-fashioned way.
Well, I mean, they took the hint from Go, right? Like,
yeah.
You can trade it, or you can pay
more
8 million candy.
And I hope that in future games they don't remove that, although they remove the weirdest stuff, and then like in Let's Go had mass release, and then the two games after it didn't have mass release, and then this game has mass release. The thing that they also did in Let's Go is a great game, by the way. You could favorite Pokemon in Let's Go. Why can we not favorite Pokemon in the next three games? I want to favorite my alphas, or I want to favorite my shinies, so I don't accidentally throw them away. I will say, though, that this game finally, if you mass release 30 Pokemon and there's a shiny in the middle of it, it will let you know that there is. It'll say there's a rare Pokemon. It will do that for shinies. I've tested this. It will not do that for alphas. It does not care that an alpha is special in any way. I don't know about legends, though. I should try that with Dialga. I should try to release Dialga and see if it yells at me. But yeah, if you try to release a shiny by itself or in mass releasing, it will just yell. It will say there's a really rare Pokemon. Are you sure you want to do this? So that's cool. That's cool. Again, favoriting was in Let's Go. It's still not in this game. But going back to trade items, so you have Ursaluna, you have Cleaver, you have Quillfish, you have what's it called? Overquill,
yeah.
There's another one, and let's just have more garbage single time use items to evolve all of these Pokemon, and it's why?
Well, I mean...
You're never going to use Pete, Salmon Rock, or whatever you need for Ursaluna ever again. You specifically need it for Ursaluna, and you'll get 17 of them, and they're only for Ursaluna. And then you need Agumon Rock for Cleaver. Only for Cleaver. Yeah.
Black Aurasite.
And you can't trade these rocks or anything. At least when Johto came around, they were here's Metal Coat. It can be worked on. It works on Scizor. Works on Steelix. I think it works on one other Pokemon. Why are we still introducing single-use, weird, obscure, whatever items in this game? And then you go to that trader girl. She has the link cable you can buy. And she has Firestones, Waterstones, Sunstones, Moonstones, all this stuff. And you're like... Fix this. There's too many. They're not fun to collect.
I will say this, that most of the items, at least, you can get very easily in the overworld.
It took me 2 hours to find a rock for Ursaluna, or whatever it's called, the Pete.
What are you doing?
I was every time I dug up either mud or crab cakes or something. It took forever.
I will say it's kind of weird because I'm having a hard time finding wood.
Oh yeah, there's like only a few locations that have wood. I will quote to you a text that I got from a quote unquote sympathetic friend last night. Just get lucky, noob.
That's true. You do that. It's 50-50. You either get the wood, you get the wood, or you don't.
Boss or not. But also there are also a lot of very bizarre. We're not really going to tell you how to evolve this. Just
I don't
do it, and also we're not going to necessarily tell you what conditions have to be happening for you to do it. Figure it out.
I don't understand this. I don't understand this mindset. Okay, for Ursaluna, you need the peat, but you also have to evolve it during a full moon.
Yep.
And to be fair, if you're not paying attention to the sky, you probably didn't notice that the moons are changing.
And if you think, oh, it will show me on the overworld map because it shows me the time of day. Nope, it keeps us. They keep a crescent moon symbol to signify night and will not tell you what phase the moon is in. Also, if there's any weather condition that could possibly obscure the moon, it will. So it doesn't even matter if you're looking up at the sky, if you're not in a location where they decided you can see the moon, or if the weather conditions aren't perfect, you can't see the moon.
Yeah. I think for me, the fourth area was the best part to look at the moon, because it rose over the mountain. Okay, but here's my... So that mechanic in itself for Ursaluna, it's like, okay, it's clever, it's cute, right? Like the bear has a full moon on its head with like little clouds. I get it. We also needed the peat rock. Also, does this mean that full moons have to come back in future games? And if it doesn't, then it's just a specific gimmick for this game.
Well, given how this game has played out, I worry 100% that any of these new forms are going to be able to move past this game at all. Like, I don't think we are already having a problem of things not coming. Like, we still don't have seasons to change Saul's book. Like, that happened in one game and has never come back.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon Go has introduced them, but you can't change them. You have to catch them in that season. And
which I think is fine for Go.
It's fine for Go, but what I'm thinking is like, okay, so we know that there's not going to be full Pokedexes anymore, and it gets really easy to make the decision of what do we leave behind? We leave behind the things that only happen in that region.
And then those become distributions in future games.
Yeah, they become distributions or things that you collect because you'll never be able to evolve them again. And it is just a mindset that I've begun to shift to realize that regional forms are probably just a thing that they feel comfortable leaving behind. Because it was in that region only, and there's no reason to bring it, and we'll bring it in a safari zone, or some random trainer has one of them to give you, and that's it.
They could have done Deerling in this game. The Winter Deerling is on the fifth one. The Fall Deerling is on the second one. The Spring Deerling... They could do Deerling if they wanted to. My problem is that I don't even know when this started. Did this start in X and Y, or did they start in Sun and Moon, where they introduced these evolution methods that you literally have no way of knowing without looking it up?
They've been doing that for a very long time. Hitmontop, I would say, is probably the first one that I can think of, the oldest one.
Hitmontop was the one that was like, what?
I'm it almost felt positive random. Somebody in the game, though, tells you how to do it.
No. Because then they would have had to explain Eevees.
Yeah.
They never do that in the game. Not to any amount of detail.
I want to say the one that was probably the one that everybody kind of picks out as to when this happened was Inkay.
Yeah, Inkay.
But that's an evolution method that it where it's lost. Right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, there's no gyroscope to. I mean, there is, except that you're playing your Switch on your TV. So you're not holding your Switch upside down.
Right, so in Sword and Shield, you have to play it in handheld mode. And in Sword and Shield, for Inke, you have to play it in handheld mode without a Pro Controller attached, because the Pro Controller will disable handheld mode and treat it as tabletop mode.
But I want to say that X and Y was the first one people, I think, we can point to definitively say, evolution methods got real wild here.
I don't mind them being wild, but you have so many NPCs in these games that tell you literally nothing. They're just fluff. But I just don't get it. Why is there not an NPC in a tent being like, hey, have you heard about Ursa Luna? I feel like they love full moons or something. Or
I just think that it's they want you to find out from talking to your friends, where like one friend did it and was like, oh, wow, this just happened because these conditions. And then they tell other people and you go on the internet and look it up anyway.
Okay, but they realized in this game people don't have friends. That's why they introduced the link cable.
Everybody has the internet.
But why are your, like, why is there not just an NPC, like, near the fishing thing being like, recoil really sucks for Basque Legion, like, because that's how you evolve Basque Legion. You need to do a specific amount of recoil or something, and then...
You have to, so, as far as I can tell, because this is a very frustrating thing, and if you do follow the Pokedex to complete certain tasks in it, this will happen naturally, but it has to take, depending on what you look at, X amount of recoil damage and survive each time. And once it reaches a threshold, it can evolve.
Yeah.
And I've seen it where it says, some people say it has to take 300 points of damage and recoil over time and has survived each of those recoils. And some people are saying it's 700. Some people have a wide range in between.
So that's a good question. It's like, is that in the Pokedex? Does it say in the Ursa Ring Pokedex, feed this Pokemon X thing out under the full moon?
No. The Pokedex,
I think,
so like
Ursa
for
Ring
Basculin,
is evolve 3 Ursa Ring. I think that's all it is.
The for Basculin, it says, see Double Edge 40 times and see Wave Crash 40 times. And so if you do that amount of times, it will take the recoil damage, provided it survives. What it doesn't tell you is if it didn't survive the recoil damage, that damage doesn't count.
Mm.
If you do that to get to 40 times, eventually you'll have survived enough to take enough damage that you'll evolve. The amount in there is shifty. I don't know what the real answer is because I wasn't keeping track.
You didn't have your notepad out writing down.
And I was like, I took this much damage in recoil. Which also the thing is if you go to, like, I'm going to run around Obsidian Fieldlands and just take out lesser Pokemon. Since it's X amount of damage it has to take, like, you'll be doing that for a very long time because you don't take a ton of recoil damage if it didn't have a lot of health.
Well, and yeah, for people who don't understand, recoil is based on the amount of damage you dealt to the opposing Pokemon.
But it's like it took them how long to learn their lesson with Leafeon and Glaceon? Like in Sword and Shield, they're like, you know what? We are sick of placing down the mossy rock and the and they made these rocks for literally these Pokemon. That's it.
And they're in this game.
The mossy rock and the
there's a mossy rock and there's I'm pretty sure there's an icy rock in Legends. I know there's a mossy rock. I found it. It's in the Obsidian Fieldlands.
And you can just use the Leaf Stone and Ice Stone now.
And you can just use the Leaf Stone and Ice Stone.
And they changed that in Sword and Shield. That was a good change. And then in Sword and Shield, and who knows in future games, they're like, to evolve Yamask into Runerigus, you need to like stand on your head, do this amount of damage, and then walk under this pillar specifically when it's the fourth Wednesday of the month. And
I mean, they just might do that for the special Pokemon for one game and then simplify it for future games.
I mean, I was surprised that Ursa Luna wasn't a Moonstone.
That's why is it just not a Moonstone on a full moon? Like, that's what it should have been.
Or just leave the moon thing out of it because you can't see the moon 60% of the time anyways.
It's mind-boggling to me that they keep introducing new items.
And, okay, this is a spoiler. There is one mission that if you haven't noticed the moon, is based around seeing the moon. So there's one mission very late in the game that finally says, hey, if you haven't been looking at the moon, you need to look at the moon. Which was the first time when I got that mission that I went, oh, the moon actually does have phases in this game.
I didn't even know there was a moon in this game.
Yeah. I noticed it in the sky, but I'd always noticed it look at the same time, so it always looked like it was the same moon. Half the time it's covered by snow or rain, so what do I know?
Yeah.
I don't hate that they have unique evolution methods. I hate that it is sometimes so obscure and there's nothing really in game that helps solve the puzzle, other than if you randomly try to complete this Pokedex, it will happen. Like for Stantler, there is a thing to do agile moves in the Pokedex, and there is a thing to do the one move that you need, but it doesn't link the two together.
Yeah. The shield bash or whatever.
Yeah. So it's like, I mean, okay, and it's I don't think it's as interesting as they think it is, or, and I will definitely say this, I am way too old to care about figuring that puzzle out. Like, it doesn't interest me enough to be like, how do I do this? I'm like, I know somebody already has it on the internet. I'm just going to go look because I cannot be bothered to figure this out.
I think there is still, like, for me, I have put, 60 hours in this game? Something like that. Probably a little bit more. And I have not gone to Cerebeam once. I have not looked up Bulbapedia once. I think the only time I looked up something is there was debate in my Twitch chat of what rank you need for certain things to happen. And I did a quick Google search of, like, what does 2-star mean? What does 3-star mean? And it was all generic, like, clickbait articles of, like, at level 2, you're level 20 Pokemon. Well, yeah, that's what they tell you. Clearly, some other things are happening that are not documented anywhere. There is still a lot of joy and a lot of discoverability in that sense. And I do not want to take anything away from people that are like, I do not care about Spirit Tomb Spirits. I just want to look up all the locations. I just want to go there. I get it. I was 1,000,000% there for you in Final Fantasy XIV. They have the same thing. You need like 14 Aether things. And then once you get the 14 Aether things, you can start flying in the area. I don't want to search for them. I just want to start flying. I get it.
Okay. Here's the difference. Final Fantasy XIV gives you a compass that you can click and says, it's that way. There is no compass. There is no weird keystone that I can click that can give me an arrow that says, oh, the wisp is that way.
That's true. You pick it
there
up and it's like,
nothing
there's
to help
two left.
Final Fantasy XIV at least admits that we're going to gatekeep you from flying in the zone because we want you on the ground. But when you're there, we will give you a compass that will guide you to these spots. Give me a compass. Give me something where it says go 50 feet north.
So pro tip, when you've gotten Braviary to fly over areas, if you fly over at night, it's easier to see the wisps on the ground.
Oh, yeah, it's way easier to see at night.
Yeah.
But still, give me a compass.
I think they handled the unknown stuff good.
Yeah.
Like, I think they handled the unknown stuff better than the wisp stuff, because the wisp is good luck finding them. And I guess you could see some of them early and then mark them on your map and then come back when you have the appropriate tools to come back to. I didn't really think of that until like 2 days ago.
Now, I don't think they appear until you get the stone.
No. I mean, like, when you first unlock the wisps, you will see some that you can't get access to.
Oh, yeah. True,
so you could,
true.
Like, use one of your markers on the map to mark it so then you know to come back later. I don't know how people are using their maps. Some people probably aren't using them at all besides just to, like, use the flag. But you could be like, hey, there's an alpha here. Mark it. It'll remember it. But at least with the unknowns, you can go in the decks, and then each unknown has, like, a hint of where they are, which is, like, pretty clever. And again, I think that's...
cute. I like that. I think it's cute.
I think that's fun for people who want that sense of discovery. If you are one of those people that do not care about that sense of discovery, you just want the answers to move on, that's cool too. But I think that goes back to the evolving stuff is like, you don't even have that option of sense of discovery because like nowhere, like you're never going to figure out with like a Pokemon like Ruinrigus, there's no way you could accidentally stumble upon that evolution and no one in that video game is ever going to tell you how to do it. So you have to look it up.
I want to say one thing that I do really love. I love the Satchelos satchel system. My joy is turning on the internet, pulling it up, and going around each little region and saving people's things to send back to them. It's like my Zen moment when I don't want to do anything else in the game or I'm frustrated with hunting something. I'm like, that's it. I'm searching for people's satchels. And I just
sleep my internet
around.
On all the time.
Yeah, I have mine on all the time, too.
Yeah, I mean, but there's times when I'm like, I'm not going to collect. I need to focus on this outbreak, or I just need to get this mission done. But if I'm like, I just can't with this game right now, my happy place is collecting satchels.
I think the satchel
system is deliberately going to places
fantastic.
And I've been knocked out twice. Thank you to the people who have rescued my satchel, brought it back to me. I appreciate you.
I tried, but I couldn't get to it.
The satchel thing is really, really cool. I like it a lot.
It's cute. I love it. It makes me actually feel like, even though I can't see you, it's nice to know that you're part of my survey corps.
I'm not 100% sure how it works, because when I've lost a satchel, I'm like, hey, Twitch chat, go get my satchel. And like five people in Twitch chat will be like, I got it. But it only is returned by one person.
Yeah, I think there's a lag of it being there for people to collect. I think like it. There was one satchel that I could not find, and I think somebody had collected it, but it was still in my list, but it was nowhere in the world. So I think that it just takes time for it to update that this has been collected. And if everybody goes at the same time, like the servers aren't going to be like, don't reward anybody or reward the person who got it in 2 seconds before. I think they just give everybody the wards, and then whoever it picks sends it back to you.
Got it.
But I love that system. I love how relaxed that makes me. Because I'm like, I want to see where you died. Oh, you were killed by an alpha over here. I see what happened. Alpha nearly
I have
KLC.
Found some where I'm like, how could you have died? Did you jump off a cliff?
What happened here? The story doesn't make sense. I'm intrigued how next to the camp you died.
Look, if you just hit that bravery button and you fall straight down without hitting that bravery button again. Look, I thought a certain Pokemon could survive a long jump. They could not. I needed to know, though.
You didn't.
Question of the week.
What's the question? What's the question? The question of the week.
This is from Brandon. What are your big plans for the 500th episode of the podcast? It doesn't happen every day.
I mean, I got no plans.
I've been only talking to you about this for 2 months. Please.
I believe Nick is working on new music, although I don't know if it's done yet. And I believe we're going to be doing a live episode on Sunday. So it'll be the same as this. It'll just be on Twitch. So you can catch it live. And if you can't catch
it
live,
you can introduce the new co-host live.
Yeah, correct. Okay. Finally, we are replacing Greg and Will. It'll be a great, 500 more episodes.
New era. Yes.
Why are we being replaced and not the weakest link, which is you?
Oh, like that show.
Bring the fire every week, and you wake up, stumble into the office, and like, I'm here.
Hey, look, somebody has to edit this show.
Look, I know 50 editors. This is not a hardship for me to find an editor.
So yeah, that's our plan. We'll be doing this episode next week, but it'll specifically be live on Twitch. So if you want to come through, watch it live. We'll be taking questions from Twitch chat near the end. It'll be a little bit more of an interactive show. Give that a try. It's something that, you know, people are like, now that you do video podcasts, are you gonna do live podcasts? And it's like, no, because there's like so many more things that can go wrong with the live podcast.
Got that right.
And there's so much more setup.
I think the last time we did a live one, I made a swear accidentally.
But live theater is exciting for the things that can go wrong.
That's true. It's just a lot more work, and until we can streamline that, like, my number one focus has always been the audio show. And so it's like, can we do a video podcast without the audio show taking a hit in any type of quality? And it's like, can we do a live video podcast without the video podcast taking a hit and the audio podcast taking a hit? So it's like, at the end of the day, it's, can we make sure the audio only show is as good as possible? And if we add on these other things, does that ruin the audio only show? And if yes, then we can't do it until we find ways to make sure that that stuff is as good as it can be. Another question from Kevin. Who is your favorite Hisuian ancestor that you've met?
Let me go first.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I've actually met them, and it seemed very, very strange to me, and you guys may know more, but when I finished Section 3, I went back to Commander Kamado or whatever, talked to him. He's like, cool. We went, had potato mochi like we always do. I went to bed. I woke up. I came out, and it looked like Ingo or Emmett's ancestor was like, you got to come talk to the commander. And I'm like, who are you, buddy? I have not seen you once before in this game, and you're running around telling me things to do. But if so, that was my favorite one.
Okay. You need to keep talking to that person.
Yeah.
I don't know where they are.
You went to the fourth area.
They go to the fourth area.
Yeah.
And that is probably one of my favorite moments of this game. That whole start of the fourth area is just...
Fourth area is the best area of the game. Story-wise.
My favorite ancestor is a spoiler.
I think my favorite ancestor is a spoiler, too.
Dang.
Well, cover your ears. Take your headset off.
Pick your second favorite. No, because if you're spoiling for me, you're spoiling for everybody else, too.
Okay.
Choi, the market guy, is clearly the ancestor of one of the Elite Four, but I can't remember which one.
Choi is an ancestor. I can't remember which one it is, and most people probably don't even know who Choi is. Choi is he's the guy that sells you Pokeballs in the place.
He's got
the hair that comes up in wings, yeah, and then the black hair.
I didn't realize that the clothing.
Isn't he Grimsley?
Grimsley, yes! Think he's Grimsley. Yes!
I thought he was Grimsley.
I don't think
he is.
I do know that the clothing girl, she's based off the butler.
She's based off the butler. Why can't I find a picture of him?
It is Grimsley. Absolutely.
How do you spell his name?
Grimsley.
No, not Grimsley.
Choi.
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 My second favorite ancestor is also a spoiler.
Oh,
no,
damn.
It's not really a spoiler. He's the guy in charge of the Fifth Noble. He's based off Wolfric. I can't remember his name, though.
Oh, that guy is awesome.
He's really great. But he's based off Wolfric.
Yeah. I will say, man, my favorite is a spoiler. What's the second favorite?
I know Greg's favorite, because it's also one of my favorites. I like the concept of it. I did not like the storyline introduction of it, but I liked the concept of it. Mm. Is it not the Wolfric guy?
I mean, the Wolfric guy is great, but it's not my second favorite. I'm trying to think.
Pick somebody from Jubilife.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of Jubilife. I mean, I like the fact that the butler's is the clothier. I like that one. I like the farmer.
Gardenia.
I like... who is the training ground leader? What is her name?
I don't remember her name, but she's
Maven?
Based off Flint and Flint.
What is her name? Is it Maven? It's something.
She's the head of the security corps.
Yeah, head of security corps.
Zizou.
Zizou?
Yeah.
Zizou. Z-I-S-U.
But who runs the training ground? That's the one I'm thinking of. Who's like the move master?
Zizou.
No.
Zizou is the one who stands at the top of the training ground the whole time. You walk up to her if you want to master a move, and you give her an item, the little mastery item.
I thought her name began with an M.
No.
Then who am I thinking of? Anyways, I like that one. I like that character a lot, too. I mean, I like almost all the characters. There's one character that I absolutely do not like in any way, shape, or form. It is a spoiler. And I do not like this person at all.
Well, we'll just have to answer this question again on the Thursday program.
Will, Pokemon of the Week.
All right. Last week's Pokemon shouldn't have been that hard, but I don't know. It's real short. This Pokemon, whose pre-evolution had to be brought the farthest across the Poke-Earth to arrive in Hisui, has a new form that now has a type weakness to its compatriot that it originally was strong against. You guys are thinking way too hard.
Wait, say it again?
This Pokemon, whose pre-evolution had to be brought the farthest across the Poke-Earth to arrive in Hisui, has a new form that now has type weakness to its compatriot that it originally was strong against. Who had to travel the farthest to get to Hisui?
That's the part that I'm thinking.
All right. If Hawaii is close to Japan...
It would be Lilligant,
sure,
isn't it?
No. If Hawaii is close to Japan, that gives you one. If Johto is in Japan, that gives you two. If Unova is on the east coast of the United States, that's a really long way to travel. Isn't Oshawott from Unova?
Yeah, and
it used to be strong against what's the final evolution of Tepig? Of course, it goes right out
Embor.
Of my Embor.
Embor.
But Embor is firefighting, and now Samurott is water dark.
Yeah, I was thinking against the ones that in this region. I'm like, it's not, though. It's not,
there's no, though. There's no Embor in this region.
I know.
It's Lilligant.
So are you looking for Samurott, Duat, or Oshawott? That whole
Samurott.
Line.
Samurott. Samurott's Duat's type did not change.
That is the one that I did not look up until after I got in credits. Like, I didn't know its typing at all. Because I didn't do any of the typings. Like, no, I mean, I've looked it up since. Don't worry, because I was like, okay, now that I've gotten credits, I need to know what everything became. So that was the one I didn't look up until, like, 2 days ago, where I'm like, okay, I want to know what these are.
Will, what did you think of the Hisuian Samurott?
I mean, I didn't pick it.
Hey, okay, here's my question. Did we all pick Cyndaquil?
I picked Cyndaquil.
I picked Cyndaquil.
I was going to pick Rowlet, and then I did not like the final evolution, so I stepped away.
Yep, same.
I don't know if I love any of their final evolutions. They're fine.
Oh, I love Typhlosion so much.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I am so sold on this Typhlosion.
I'm like, I got half a Pokemon team that's Ghost Fire at this point.
I like, when it evolved, I was like, huh. And then I saw it in the overworld when its flames came out, and I'm like, in. Yep. This one is so cool. I love it.
Yeah, they're okay. I don't hate them. I just, they're okay. They're no Incineroar.
So regular Samurott Shuffle is very good. I don't know how I feel about the shiny.
The shiny is the same color as the Hisuian form.
Kinda.
That's kind of what they did for all the final forms. Yeah.
It's just like that darker blue. At 2.099 seconds, Samurott has the longest cry of any starter. Who's timing this?
Bulbapedia is typing this.
Mm-hmm.
Samurott is the only fully evolved water starter Pokemon that is not in Water Egg Group 1.
That's all you got?
Yeah,
that's all the trivia.
Not a lot.
It's not great. Unless you want to know that Samurott appears in Pokemon Battle Chess BW version. It acts as a bishop piece in chess, but it can only move one square directly forward.
That's not how bishops work.
That's trivia for you.
All right, let's do next week's one.
Okay.
I typically do not use mythical Pokemon in my playthroughs of Pokemon games, but I recently decided to have one on my team. I have been fascinated by this Pokemon since it was related to probably my favorite Pokemon game of all time, but I had been unable to obtain it in my playthrough of that game, partially because I did not know how, partially because I did not have access to two Nintendo DS. As I have been using this Pokemon, I have become increasingly disappointed that, in the game that I am playing, 60% of its moves are all water type, and the bug, fairy, normal, poison, and psychic type moves it learns are all non-damaging. In a different recent game, it has access to psychic and fairy moves that actually cause damage. In both the Plasma Storm and Primo Clash TCG expansions, this Pokemon's card included an attack that would allow the player to retrieve water energies from their discard. There you go. We're going more classic on this clue here.
All right. Stuart sent in the Pokeball news. Alex sent in some Pokemon commercials we haven't talked about. What else here? Chris sent in the Pokemon Go stuff. That's it. I forgot to say that earlier, but thank you to our Attic channel. Hey, we'll be back later this week for the spoiler cast for Legends. So thank you for listening. And hopefully you enjoyed the show. And we will be back on Sunday on Twitch. We'll get you a definite start time of when that's going to be for the live show. If you want to participate, if you can't make it, no big deal, because it will still be up on YouTube the next day, and it will still be in your podcast app the next day as normal. So just kind of an extra bonus there. But thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to follow Greg on Twitter at White Wing, if you want to follow Will on Twitter at Washing the Sink, I'm on Twitter at Dragging a Lake. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at PKMNCST. Same for Instagram, same for YouTube, same for TikTok, all that stuff. If you want to know how to shiny hunt in Legends, I did make a whole YouTube video about it. I promise you my YouTube video is better than everyone else's YouTube video because they don't tell you about the save issue that can happen. I know the common thing is like, hey, if you see a shiny, save in front of it. Doesn't technically work that way in Outbreak. It does work that way in Outbreaks unless your Outbreak is near the end and then it doesn't and then you lose the shiny and then you'll probably be like, why did I lose the shiny? I made a video explaining why you would lose the shiny and where you should save, so that does not happen. Foolproof. Some would say, wait, what was the word I used on it? Failproof? Failproof.
Get better luck, noob.
Yeah, get better luck.
Get luckier, noob.
Hey, there's also a mission that will ask for a fire-type Pokemon near the end of the game, and I gave them my shiny Ponyta because I thought it would be like the shiny Wurmple, and it would like stand next to the person. He just puts it in his pocket. You'll never see that shiny again. Don't.
Get wrecked!
Just a real big heads up on that one near the end of the game right there. Literally, almost every single NPC will take your Pokemon and then put them next to him. This Joker out by the fireplace, like, I'm looking for a fire Pokemon to keep warm. Hey, man, I'm never going to use the shiny Ponyta. I want you to have it right into his pocket. You'll never see that Pokemon again. Don't do that. Fifth area, by the way. Fifth area.
Yeah, I mean, I did also give a Ponyta, but not shiny. Mm. I'm not a fool.
I wanted to see it, like, that. Stand next to him. Like, hey, hanging out.
I knew better. I could see the look in his eye.
This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are...
super effective.
Super, this joke has been redacted due to spoilers.
Oh. So has my laughter. Almost clicked the wrong button. There we go.
This show is supported by Patreon. A shout out to all our producers who support our show at a high level, starting with Steven, Sean, Matthew, Bovine, Kay, Jessica, Jacob, Ryan, Evan, Ryan, Nate, Catherine, Casey, Josh, Smash, Gray, Dylan, Carlos, and Alvaro, and a huge shout out to our executive producers of Steph, Spencer, Courtney, and Brady. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like your name read at the end of the show, or you just want to support, it's super effective. You can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast or ise.cash in order to support the show if you want to. Otherwise, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.